Today on the Southern California Real Estate Report, we look back at the last few months of rent collection. Stay tuned.
Good morning. Welcome to the Southern California Real Estate Report. This is Bob McGuire and Daniel Wise coming to you from San Diego. Still kind of coming out of the post COVID-19 world, right?
I think we're not nearly we're out of it.
Yeah, we're not out of it like we think we are. But I think that the thing that people so in the real estate world, I think the things that people were looking at were the first 2 months. So April and May of 2020 and knowing that March was an off month for rent collections altogether. Mm-hmm. But April and May were kind of the critical months that everyone was looking at.
Right.
So this podcast, what we wanted to talk about a little bit is the national rent collections, the California rent collections, the San Diego rent collections. And a lot of this data that we're going to talk about today is compiled by an organization that we're members of actually and that tracks multifamily information, and that's the National Multifamily Housing Council. And they put out a rent tracker survey to different property managers and landlords around the country. They surveyed a lot of apartments. So they went through 11.4 million to 11.5 million professionally managed apartment units. Out of 21.4 million nationwide, so as part of their database. So they basically did a survey over half their database of professionally managed apartments. And what they came back with was that 87.7% of surveyed renters who had fully or partially paid as of May 13, 2020, and that was slightly more than the 88.9% who had paid as of June 13, 2019. At the end of May, 95.1% of renters had fully or partially paid their rents, compared with 96.6% in May of 2019. So think about that. So May, so 2 months, really 3 months into our lockdown, mm-hmm. or call it, 10 weeks, right? And from a rent standpoint, I guess you would say it's more or less like 6 weeks of the lockdown,
right.
Which people were truly here in California. And I think in a lot of the West, people really were staying at home and working from home. And so there was some real distress through March and April. We had similar numbers as this. And when you look at it year over year, there's like 0.1% difference in collections. So, I mean, that's pretty dang good.
That's amazing.
That's pretty amazing. So what they're attributing this to, and I think that this is something that's great for you owners out there that are self-managing, what NMHC is saying is they're saying, hey, it seems that the collections are greatest in the properties that are professionally managed. So those properties that were professionally managed were the collections were better. Now, the thing is that's a little bit troubling is that in the month of May, the use of credit cards to pay rent, it shot upward to a pretty high number. About 58% of rents that were paid in May were paid through a credit card. And so that's compared with February, so prior to the lockdown for most everyone.
Right. So that's quite a significant jump.
Yeah, that is. So I think that, when you look at this data like this, I think that and why I started the podcast at the beginning, I think when this happened, a lot of people thought that March and April were going to be massively distressing, high collection and delinquency months. And it really didn't end up being that way. Now, there's a couple ways to look at this. On one side, I think when people are forced to stay at home, they're going to make every available resource available to pay their rent because they don't want to take a chance. I mean, this is a weird thing. It's a
right.
It's a pandemic. The last thing you want to do is be in a situation where, you know, you potentially could lose your home, right?
Or
have an issue with that.
Yeah, and it's also one of the most expensive things you pay every month. The last thing you really want, especially if your owner is just offering rent deferral programs.
Right.
It's like, well, at what point do you just end up so far in the hole
right.
that it's a struggle to get out of? Maybe some people are assuming that they can pay their credit card bill off faster than some kind of, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and I think maybe it's a way, you know, so that they're bridging the gap between like a stimulus or an unemployment check.
Right, exactly.
And to that, so they're using that credit card as a bridge, right?
That's exactly.
And so that may be the case. We'll find out more. You know, the credit card people will track this type of data. So we'll find out more as time goes on if balances actually increase over the long haul, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going to be looking for. So, but at the end of the day, I think that there's a couple of interesting things here. And, you know, one, it appears that the way that this was handled, whether it was jumbled or a little bit fumbled around, the stimulus money definitely helped. Getting people money quickly, I think, helped fill in some holes.
Right.
I think the unemployment aspect, you know, we're hearing a lot on the commercial side that a lot of people that are on unemployment are not wanting to go back to work because the unemployment is so favorable right now that they can't earn as much at work as they can on the unemployment. So I think people are being good about paying their rent out of those funds, you know, so I think that helps too. And we'll see if they pay their credit card bills down. But at the end of the day, you know, I think having the quick response and getting money flowing quickly averted what could have been a pretty big catastrophic thing. Now, there's interesting data that we're going to be tracking that's going to be coming out over the month of July, and that is the $600 a month stimulus money is going to start to dry up.
Right.
And so we're going to see that over July. So we'll see what August and September collections are like. Now, here in California today, Gavin Newsom had a press conference today. There's discussions about some of the spikes that we're seeing in COVID right now. And the question is, you know, do we go into another lockdown period?
You know, it's difficult because, you know, at the end of the day, California, especially here in San Diego, we are a very drivable and favorable area for a lot of areas. And so it's to put us into another lockdown doesn't necessarily mean that people are not going to be coming here from other states.
Yeah. So
it's really challenging right now,
yeah.
I think, because I've seen the spike. I've even gotten really scared of the spike, to be completely honest. Like,
yeah.
You're hearing these numbers and you're like, God, the second you start opening things up, it gets worse.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
So it's, but it's also summer in San Diego and there's a lot of movement, a lot of people and a lot of the beaches are now open and a lot going on. And
yeah.
I think that people are just really started, you know, maybe, you know, there's that right balance to things, right?
Yeah. And they're talking about a couple of different things in different states too. So there's the idea that, for example, I think what I heard, and don't quote me on this because I still need to get, like, just confirm it. I heard it very quickly on the radio. I was bounced around to meetings this morning. And I think that New York is proposing that if you're coming in from out of state, you may have to quarantine for a number of days, similar to what Hawaii did.
Or it's from states where the coronavirus is spiking.
Right.
So
if you're coming from, let's say, like Arizona or the South or even, you know, California or Texas,
mm-hmm.
right, where there's some spikes,
right.
That you may, if you're going into New York, you might have to quarantine for like 14 days. So
yeah.
That's going to throw off your vacation plans unless you get like 30 days off for your trips and stuff. So that's going to affect travel. That's going to affect economic things still if we start going to a quarantine model. I think I agree with your statement in the sense that, you know, there has to be a balance to it. It seems that some of the spikes are occurring in the vacation type areas. And so that's one of the things.
Which would put San Diego at risk.
Right, exactly. And the other thing is, too, is that, you know, they're talking again about pools and public places. So I was going to talk to you about that this morning offline that, you know, we have pools at some of our apartments. We may have to consider, you know, closing those down again. And we may have to think about, like, some of the common areas and how we manage those. So at the end of the day, collections on apartments have really maintained at almost the same exact level year over year as where we would be in each month. I think March was probably our worst month,
right,
and it gradually got better. I think the stimulus money filled those holes. The question now becomes what happens over the later part of the summer and as we go into the fall and as there becomes more of an outbreak on some of this stuff. So, you know, if there is a spike, like they're saying in the fall, that they're already saying that's just kind of built into this, and it continues to kind of accelerate over the summer
right.
months. I would say here in California, I probably see another lockdown coming in our future, you know, possibly sooner than later. And
yeah,
so
it's very possible, or at least, you know, maybe
a quarantine situation or something right?
Or
where they say, hey, no more vacation rentals or something to keep people from coming in too, from other areas too.
Right.
In other words, to localize things and still kind of keep the wheels turning. So there's still some unknowns here. I think that I'm very pleased with the results that we had for collections, which are very similar to these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We're operating at 96%+. So I think that that's pretty good. You know, we worked a lot with our tenants to try and, you know, keep things worked out. So I think from a standpoint of, having things having economic stability right now for a lot of our owners has been critical. We've also had a lot of our owners taking advantage of some of the different, things that are available from lenders too, which I think helps. So the question is, as we go over these next couple of months, you know, does this funnel kind of, you know, do we funnel down and get kind of more back to normal, or do we kind of pause things and then we have kind of a backup and maybe there's a second stimulus or something like that?
It's hard to
tell.
And, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, you're seeing if there is a second wave and it's happening now in the end of June and not in October, November when they predicted it. You know, it just shows you kind of what type of world we're living in. No one really can predict anything. Maybe March and April and May were not nearly as bad because we weren't quite used to the fact that we were going to be in a lockdown for a lot longer than we expected.
Yeah.
You know, maybe companies and people were like, well, we expect to be doing full business in the summer and we expect restaurants to be open and
right.
we expect all this stuff to be going on, and that's why. So, it's interesting.
It is. It's going to be interesting to follow this, and it's going to be interesting to follow the process of, you know, how COVID-19 is managed from the health side of things and with the governments that are involved in this on the federal, state, county levels, city levels even, and then how we handle the economic bridge that needs to be taken care of too, to make sure that renters can still continue to pay rent, and that buildings can continue to perform. You know, these unknown future lockdown things are certainly of some concern, because here in San Diego, you know, you're driving around now, I'm driving around like it's, you know, somewhat normal. There's still not a lot of traffic. But the one thing that I have noticed is that restaurants are still really running at about half speed. And they're not open the way I thought they would be. And there's certainly a lot of stuff that just has remained closed. I think the goal here is to continue to work with tenants, continue to, feel grateful that things have gone as well as they have right now.
Right.
And to try to, keep things going the way that they're going. And we've been communicating a lot with our tenants.
Yeah.
We've been suggesting that they communicate with us if there are problems. Most people that have an office job are still working from home. We've noticed that pretty heavily across our whole portfolio. And the real question is, here in San Diego, especially in some of our more core neighborhoods where there are people in the bartending and service and hospitality industries, what that's going to look like in the next, let's say, 120 days, you know? It's a really interesting question, and we'll track this. The good news is that things seem to be on track, and we're not seeing spikes in vacancies or collections like we anticipated. So
yeah.
All good news. We'll look forward to talking next week. And thanks for listening today. This has been the Southern California Real Estate Report.